Today is the 6th day of November. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian, and it is wonderful. I'm grateful to be here with you today. As we gather again, like we do every day, in this safe oasis that we call the Global Campfire, a place that we create together and for each other every day, as we continue to journey forward on a trip, an adventure of a lifetime through the entire Bible in a year. Very, very grateful to be here with you today as we gather to take the next step forward on our journeys right now through the book of Ezekiel in the Old Testament and the book of Hebrews in the New. Today, Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 12 through 16, verse 41. The Lord spoke to me. "Mortal man," he said, "if a country sins and is unfaithful to me, I will reach out and destroy its supply of food. I will send a famine and kill people and animals alike. Even if those three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were living there, their goodness would save only their own lives. The Sovereign Lord has spoken. Or I might send wild animals to kill the people, making the land so dangerous that no one could travel through it. And even if those three men lived there, as surely as I, the Sovereign Lord, am the living God, they would not be able to save even their own children. They would save only their own lives, and the land would become a wilderness. Or I might bring war on that country and send destructive weapons to wipe out people and animals alike. And even if those three men lived there, as surely as I, the Sovereign Lord, am the living God, they would not be able to save even their children, but only their own lives. If I send an epidemic on that country, and in my anger take many lives, killing people and animals, even if Noah, Daniel, and Job lived there, as surely as I, the Sovereign Lord, am the living God, they would not be able to save even their own children. Their goodness would save only their own lives. This is what the Sovereign Lord is saying. I will send my four worst punishments on Jerusalem: war, famine, wild animals, and diseases, to destroy people and animals alike. If some survive and save their children, look at them when they come to you. See how evil they are, and be convinced that the punishment I am bringing on Jerusalem is justified. Then you will know that there was good reason for everything I did. The Sovereign Lord has spoken." The Lord spoke to me. "Mortal man," he said, "how does a vine compare with a tree? What good is a branch of a grapevine compared with the trees of the forest? Can you use it to make anything? Can you even make a peg out of it to hang things on? It is only good for building a fire. And when the ends are burned up and the middle is charred, can you make anything out of it? It was useless even before it was burned. Now that the fire has burned it and charred it, it is even more useless." Now this is what the Sovereign Lord is saying. "Just as a vine is taken from the forest and burned, so I will take the people who live in Jerusalem and will punish them. They have escaped one fire, but now fire will burn them up. When I punish them, you will know that I am the Lord. They have been unfaithful to me, and so I will make the country a wilderness. The Sovereign Lord has spoken." The Lord spoke to me again. "Mortal man," he said, point out to Jerusalem what disgusting things she has done. Tell Jerusalem what the Sovereign Lord is saying to her. You were born in the land of Canaan. Your father was an Amorite and your mother was a Hittite. When you were born, no one cut your umbilical cord or washed you or rubbed you with salt or wrapped you in cloths. No one took enough pity on you to do any of these things for you. When you were born, no one loved you. You were thrown out in an open field. Then I passed by and saw you squirming in your own blood. You were covered with blood, but I wouldn't let you die. I made you grow like a healthy plant. You grew strong and tall and became a young woman. Your breasts were well formed and your hair had grown, but you were naked. As I passed by again, I saw that the time had come for you to fall in love. I covered your naked body with my coat and promised to love you. Yes, I made a marriage covenant with you, and you became mine. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. Then I took water and washed the blood off you. I rubbed olive oil on your skin. I dressed you in embroidered gowns and gave you shoes of the best leather, a linen headband, and a silk cloak. I put jewels on you, bracelets and necklaces. I gave you a nose ring and earrings and a beautiful crown to wear. You had ornaments of gold and silver, and you always wore clothes of embroidered linen and silk. You ate bread made from the best flour and had honey and olive oil to eat. Your beauty was dazzling, and you became a queen. You became famous in every nation for your perfect beauty, because I was the one who made you so lovely. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. But you took advantage of your beauty and fame to sleep with everyone who came along. You used some of your clothes to decorate your places of worship, and just like a prostitute, you gave yourself to everyone. You took the silver and gold jewelry that I have given you, used it to make male images, and committed adultery with them. You took the embroidered clothes I gave you and put them on the images, and you offered to the images the olive oil and incense I had given you. I gave you food, the best flour, olive oil, and honey, but you offered it as a sacrifice to win the favor of idols. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. Then you took the sons and the daughters you had borne me and offered them as sacrifices to idols. Wasn't it bad enough to be unfaithful to me without taking my children and sacrificing them to idols? During your disgusting life as a prostitute, you never once remembered your childhood, when you were naked, squirming in your own blood. The Sovereign Lord said, you are doomed. Doomed. You did all that evil, and then, by the side of every road, you built places to worship idols and practice prostitution. You dragged your beauty through the mud. You offered yourself to everyone who came by. And you are more of a prostitute every day. You let your lustful neighbors, the Egyptians, go to bed with you. And you used your prostitution to make me angry. Now, I have raised my hand to punish you and to take away your share of my blessing. I have handed you over to the Philistines, who hate you and are disgusted with your immoral actions. Because you were not satisfied by the others, you went running after the Assyrians. You were their prostitute, but they didn't satisfy you either. You were also a prostitute for the Babylonians, that nation of merchants, but they didn't satisfy you either. This is what the Sovereign Lord is saying. You have done all this like a shameless prostitute. On every street you built places to worship idols and practice prostitution. But you are not out for money like a common prostitute. You are like a woman who commits adultery with strangers instead of loving her husband. A prostitute is paid, but you gave presents to all your lovers and bribed them to come from everywhere to sleep with you. You are a special kind of prostitute. No one forced you to become one. You didn't get paid. You paid them. Yes, you are different. Now then, Jerusalem, you whore, hear what the Lord is saying. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. You stripped off your clothes, and like a prostitute, you gave yourself to your lovers and to all your disgusting idols, and you killed your children as sacrifices to idols. Because of this, I will bring all your former lovers together, the ones you liked and the ones you hated. I will bring them around you in a circle, and then I will strip off your clothes and let them see you naked. I will condemn you for adultery and murder, and in my anger and fury, I will punish you with death. I will put you in their power, and they will tear down the places where you engage in prostitution and worship idols. They will take away your clothes and jewels and leave you completely naked. They will stir up a crowd to stone you, and they will cut you to pieces with their swords. They will burn your houses down and let crowds of women see your punishment. I will make you stop being a prostitute and make you stop giving gifts to your lovers. Hebrews 7, 18 through 28. The old rule, then, is set aside because it was weak and useless. For the law of Moses could not make anything perfect. And now, a better hope has been provided through which we come near to God. In addition, there is also God's vow. There was no such vow when the others were made priests, but Jesus became a priest by means of a vow when God said to him, "The Lord has made a solemn promise and will not take it back. You will be a priest forever." The difference then also makes Jesus the guarantee of a better covenant. There's another difference. There were many of those other priests because they died and could not continue their work. But Jesus lives on forever, and his work as priest does not pass on to someone else. And so he is able, now and always, to save those who come to God through him because he lives forever to plead with God for them. Jesus, then, is the high priest that meets our needs. He is holy. He has no fault or sin in him. He has been set apart from sinners and raised above the heavens. He is not like other high priests. He does not need to offer sacrifices every day for his own sins first, and then for the sins of the people. He offered one sacrifice, once and for all when he offered himself. The law of Moses appoints men who are imperfect to be high priests, but God's promise, made with the vow, which came later than the law, appoints the Son who has been made perfect forever. Psalm 106, 1-12. The Lord's goodness to his people. Praise the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, because he is good. His love is eternal. Who can tell all the great things he has done? Who can praise him enough? Happy are those who obey his commands, who always do what is right. Remember me, Lord, when you help your people. Include me when you save them. Let me see the prosperity of your people and share in the happiness of your nation and the glad pride of those who belong to you. We have sinned as our ancestors did. We have been wicked and evil. Our ancestors in Egypt did not understand God's wonderful acts. They forgot the many times he showed them his love, and they rebelled against the Almighty at the Red Sea. But he saved them, as he had promised, in order to show his great power. He gave a command to the Red Sea, and it dried up. He led his people across on dry land. He saved them from those who hated them. He rescued them from their enemies. But the water drowned their enemies. Not one of them was left. Then his people believed his promises and sang praises to him. Proverbs 27, 4-6. Anger is cruel and destructive, but it is nothing compared to jealousy. Better to correct someone openly than to let him think you don't care for him at all. Friends mean well, even when they hurt you. But when an enemy puts his arm around your shoulder, watch out. Okay, what we read in Ezekiel today. Every time I read this passage, I have almost like a visceral reaction to it. I think maybe I'm not alone. It's a heartbreaking, deeply heartbreaking, painful thing to read. And when you think about it, God is pouring out a story that is so full of like deep, deep, painful emotions. Have you ever even thought about something like the emotional life of God? Have we ever even thought he had emotions? Often, we think the only emotion in this relationship with God is our emotion. I mean, this is God. He doesn't feel things. Things can't actually get to him. He just watches us and, yeah, he doesn't like some of the things that we do because it's going to hurt us. And so he just forgives us and we all move on like it didn't happen. And he's too perfect to experience distress of any sort. I guess if we just apply logic, we wouldn't be reading a Bible like this. This wouldn't be the story if God were indifferent. It just wouldn't exist. And we've come far enough on this journey through the scriptures to know that God is not without passion, and he is not aloof or indifferent. And passion, that's an emotional thing. So we've been hearing warning prophecies for a bit now that we're into the prophets. And we've heard of the terrible struggle out in front of the people who won't listen, who won't return to the one with whom they have made a covenant. And this entire 16th chapter of Ezekiel displays the emotional hearts of God and in such a profound way that we can so deeply relate to. And we have to pay attention to it, not only because it's in the scriptures, but because it gives context to what the prophets are saying and foretelling. So God tells a story of a newborn baby girl, a little baby girl. She represents God's people. And she was unloved from the moment she was born. She wasn't like held or nurtured or anything. She wasn't even wiped off after she was born. She was taken out and left in a field to die. And God came by, saw this little baby girl. She hadn't even had her umbilical cord cut. And she's helplessly kicking in this open field. And God said, as you were laying there, I said, live. And the story goes on that this infant baby grew and became lovely, a lovely young woman under God's care. And God entered into the covenant of marriage with her. And he adored her and lavished the finest of everything upon her. And she was beautiful. And her beauty was unparalleled. God said, you looked like a queen. And so you were. But others began to notice this beauty. And she liked it. Before long, not only had she committed adultery, but she was giving herself away to anything and anyone. She liked the validation. And to make matters worse, she was taking all of the gifts like that God had given her, all that had been provided for her, and gave them away, and gave them and offered them in worship to other gods, the gods of her lovers. And God said, I can't believe this. I can't believe it. How could such a thing ever happen? So this is a story of unfaithfulness, of covenant breaking, of unbelievable ungratefulness, of selfishness. But that's not the end of the story. God said, then you took your sons and daughters, the children you had born to me, and you sacrificed them to your gods. Like, wasn't it bad enough that you were just giving yourself away? Do you have to slaughter my children by sacrificing them? In all your years of adultery and detestable sin, you haven't ever remembered where you came from. The days from long ago when you were naked in a field, kicking about in your own blood. Sorrow awaits you, says the Sovereign Lord. Oh my gosh, that is such a sad, sad, sad story. And if we ever wondered if God has any kind of emotional life, then that should say it all. And from the perspective of God, we can see why the prophets were sent. Right? They're not sent to just lower the boom, to just declare doom. In spite of all this, he's still calling them back. Despite it all, he's still saying, like, please come back to me. But they don't listen. And so the sorrow that was foretold does come upon them. I guess there's like this difficult on a lot of levels, but if we look at ourselves as this little girl in the story, it might be that we find our story uncomfortably familiar. And if that is true, then maybe an honest conversation with God is appropriate, because he's calling us back. Return to me, he's saying. So maybe somewhere today there's some space that could be created to have that conversation. And Father, why you would not give up, even in a story like this one, of unspeakable betrayal, like repeated betrayal and infidelity and covenant breaking at the highest level, and yet you still remain. That is, like, we can understand this conceptually. And so that reveals your heart, your feelings, your passion to redeem and to restore, but it's beyond our comprehension. All we can do is say thank you for that, because we don't deserve anything that we have from you. Anything at all. And so we're hearing the call, return to me. Come back, stop running away, come back, stop leaving, come back, stay here. We hear you. Lead us, Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Father, I want to thank you once more today for teaching me to live in a more excellent way, avoiding arguments, contention, and strife, and helping me to live and walk in the newness of life. I open my heart up completely unto you. You know my intentions at all that I do. You've cleaned up my kidneys, my liver and spleen, those parts that recycle and filter the evils unseen. I know that in everything we have to make a choice. For my heart is attuned to the sound of your voice, and there's also a certain purity of heart that won't allow evil even a foothold to start. I've also learned the importance of persevering in prayer to reinforce and nurture the vine that's continually there. And by faith, I've learned to stand on your word so I can remain undefiled from the filth that I've heard. So I want to thank you, Father, once more today for teaching me to live in a more excellent way, avoiding arguments, contention, and strife, and helping me to walk in the newness of life. Once again, Brian and the Harden family, thank you for this wonderful podcast for God's Holy Spirit to flow. Keep it flowing, y'all. All right, bye-bye.
Dear Heavenly Father, I pray now with fellow dabbers across the earth, lifting up to you all of our requests, Lord. We know that you have count of every hair on our heads. You've collected our tears in a bottle. There's nothing that has escaped your notice. I add to these prayers for my beloved husband, Lyle, who suffers with neuropathic pain that keeps him in a lot of chaos, with wondering when he will be able to sleep. I pray, Lord, that doctors will know how to address this and how not to address it. But most of all, Lord, I pray that Lyle's relationship with you only grows, that he is a powerful witness for you in this world, which is his heart's desire, Lord, that you give him joy and peace and patience and just every good gift that does belong to us in Jesus Christ. Lord, lift up each and every one of us as we fight this spiritual battle on this earth until we get to come home to you, Lord. Thank you.
Hello, everybody. Early in October, I shared a prayer request for my sister, Carol. Lesions were found in her lung, and I prayed that they would all be benign. I was believing for a miracle. God did better than that. The lesions were not only benign, but they were nothing to do with cancer. It was some other autoimmune disease, which is curable. I just want to say thank you, God. Thank you for those that prayed. And I'm also praying for all your prayer requests, because I know how much it means to those people who are at the last end of the rope, because God hears our prayers. He will give us the peace that we need, the strength we need, the grace we need to overcome all the challenges and trials we have. Thank you. Bye.
Hi, this is Bart in Kentucky, and I want to praise the Lord for saving the orphans in Haiti, even bringing them some joy through a pizza party and soccer balls. Thank you for blessing Susie and the entire team, and for making a way. Clearly your hand, Lord, is on this outcome. Lord, we lift up these children and we ask for you to continue to protect them, and not only protect them, but to have them flourish and to be members of your kingdom as they grow up and shine your light on those that they live with and work with as they become adults. Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you. Amen. I also want to lift up a relative of mine we'll call B. And B, I'm very worried because B is all wrapped up in the political scenario, and I'm afraid there's some real mental issues going on, emotional and mental issues that are getting her so off track that this is all she can think of. And I just ask for prayer for her. She's also not a believer, and I would covet your prayers for her. She's B, and thank you. Jesus, please help her and help us, again, shining your light so that others might see a path to you. And it's in Jesus' name that I also pray this. And Lord, I just thank you in general for the DAB. This is Bart in Kentucky, and I'm walking in the light. Have a good day, everybody.